Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. The sweetest name that I know is Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. His name is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In your wonderful and precious name, Lord, continue to linger here as these words, Lord, that I have here, Lord, go forth. Touch the hearts of your people that they will hear and see you. In the name of Jesus, let the church say, amen. Amen. Come on, give your musicians a big round of applause. I'm telling you, they're just some wonderful, wonderful men. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me now to John, St. John, the 13th chapter. I see the clock. It looks like it's, let me put my glasses on because y'all going to say Ashley got up there and took all this time. It's 20 after 12. I think I can blame a little bit on maybe the children's story or something, huh? We'll get you out soon. John, the 13th chapter. If you have it, say amen. I want you to go to verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. By this, verse 35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love, what does it say? One to another. I've entitled this message to all of you this morning, what's love got to do with it? I'm not talking about Ike and Tina Turner. For those of you old enough to know who that is, what's love got to do with it? I want to share with you today one of the most important subjects to be found in the Word of God. Everything in this book points to this subject, and that is love. Most people, they enjoy talking about love. Most people like to even hear that people are in love. I know my wife's grandparents on her father's side, they live 10 minutes from me, and they have been married 68 years. You see how everybody says, ooh, hi, yeah. They love hearing about this. I mean, when I ask Grandpa, I said, look, how in the world did you and grandmother stay married 68? I mean, they even made the jet. He said, I just learned how to just say yes and be quiet. And that don't work for everybody, but it worked for him. It seems to bring a smile, this subject, to most people's face when you're talking about how much they are in love. I don't care if people are in the world or if they're in the church. There is something about this subject, love, that makes this Bible. You know, I heard somebody say that love makes the what world go around. I enjoy being in love. I enjoy being a giver. But to be a great lover, some man needs to listen up. Some woman needs to listen up. To be a great lover, one who can give love, you must be an unselfish giver. I don't think you got that. To be a great lover, don't worry about what the world says about what makes a person a great lover. To be a great lover, you must be an unselfish giver. This is why most people never experience true love. That's why most people never experience being truly in love. Because they themselves do not know how to give love. Anybody here who's thinking about marrying someone, you need to know, do they know how to love? See, we have all these misconceptions about what love is. I've seen people look at Denzel Washington and say, "Ooh, I just love me some Denzel." I've heard men look at Beyonce and say, "Ooh, man, no, that ain't love. That is lust." Come on, somebody. How you gonna love Denzel? You don't know nothing about that man. "Ooh, girl, I just love me some, just go crazy." I've seen people fall in love with their cars. I mean, they buy a car and they just love it. They shine it. They step back. They look at it. When they drive into a parking space, they take up two parking spaces. Have you ever seen that? They got the left wheel or the right wheel over. They don't want you to get next to their car. This is mad. We have all these misconceptions about what love is. But I want you to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and he gave it with no other motive in mind but love. That's why some of us in this church, it's easy for us to give love. Some in this church find much joy in giving. There are people that are fulfilled when they give. They're satisfied when they give. But for other people, I want you to know that giving is drudgery. It is painful. Even in church, when someone stands up and says, "It's tithe and offering time." Oh my goodness, they get ready to ask me for something. And I know, you know, when Touch of Love comes, we always have a special offering at the end of the service. And somebody already who knows that is like, "Oh boy, Pastor Ashley's in the house." They see giving as a contract. They see it as an obligation. This is why relationships go bad. There are just too many people in relationships for what they can get from the other person. Listen to me, I'm going somewhere this morning. We have too many people who do not want to give. They just want to know, what can the other person do for me? Somebody who's looking for a wife, or they're looking for a husband just to keep them company. "I'm tired of being alone. Honey, I want a man to take care of me, girl. Man, I need me a wife so I can have some hot cooked meals when I come home." I'll never forget, I was in the grocery store and I was in the frozen food section, Jackie, and I saw a brother there. He was getting the banquet TV dinners. His poor little basket was just stacked up with TV dinners. And I looked at him and he looked up at me. And Norris, he said, "Well, man, I sure need me a wife." I said, "No, brother, you need to learn how to cook. You don't need no wife for that. Learn how to boil something, amen. Learn how to cook something." I'm so happy my mother taught me how to cook, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I need no woman for that. You a brother, if you're a man sitting out there and that's all you want a woman for is to cook you a hot cooked meal, something wrong with you, brother. Help us, Holy Ghost. It can't always be about what somebody wants to give to you. Very seldom do we hear people say that, "I want someone because I have so much to give." We don't hear that. We don't hear that. "Listen, I have so much I want to give. I just want to outlove you." Oh, yeah. You ought to try that. Those of you that are couples, try to outlove each other. That ain't even on my notes. I'm going to give you that for free. Learn to outlove each other. You bring her a box of candy, and so the next night she gives you some flowers or something. Then down the road you do something, and then she does something. Outlove each other. And let me just throw something in. Women, let me just say this to you. I'm going to say something to the brothers in a minute. You ladies, hear me. God has given you so much power. It took me to get 60 years old to understand the power that the female voice has. There is so much power that God has given your voice. See, your voice is that which God has given you to help build up people. See, in the Old Testament time, the only thing that a man had, the only two qualities that a man had to pick a wife was her eyes or her voice. The biblical women in the Old Testament time, they dressed in the Islamic attire. They were covered from head to toe. Many of them wore the veil. This is how Jacob could date a woman for 7 years and marry the wrong one. Women were covered from head to toe. Watch this. There was nothing that you could see to get excited about them, brothers. You couldn't see their legs. You couldn't see their hair. You couldn't see their breasts. It was all covered. All you had to work with was her eyes or her voice. But let me tell you something. You can't go by the eyes, because I have seen sisters whose eyes were saying one thing, but when they open up their mouth, help us today. One of the greatest gifts that a woman has is her voice. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaketh. Listen to me, ladies. The power of your voice was given by God to nurture, to build up your husband, to build up your children. When a woman learns how to talk to a man, she will produce king. She'll produce soldiers. She'll produce a man of God. Talk to the brother right. If you say the right thing, sister, you'll get the credit cards, you'll get the future accounts, you'll get all the money. Talk to the brother right. Amen. Sarah, when you look at them sisters in the Bible, they knew how to talk to a man. Sarah would say, my Lord. Small L, don't get it twisted. My Lord. She knew, they knew how to talk to a man. And this is why, fathers, listen to me. There was a brother up here earlier today that was, we were transitioning from Sabbath school to divine worship, and he was talking about Father's Day coming up. And I want you men to know that Father's Day will never be like Mother's Day. We might as well forget it. No, you know, we might as well get it. You know, Mama gets it all, and that's fine, that's fine. We just got to own up, but brothers, we just ain't gonna get the same props. We're not gonna get it. Because, I mean, there's something about that woman's voice, even with the children, and there's something in her voice that is there to build up. Learn how to talk to the man in your life. Brothers, check this out. It's a two-way street here now, so I don't want you to think I'm just saying this to the ladies. I haven't even got to my sermon yet. This is something that the Holy Ghost just said, throw it in there. Brothers, you have to learn that this is a two-way street. We are to submit ourselves one to another. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. I said earlier, to be a great lover, you must become an unselfish giver, brothers. You have to give, and I'm not talking about your money. Many times men, immediately when we hear somebody say, give it, we start, oh, Lord, where's my wallet? Where's my money? I'm not talking about your money. When your love for that person is right, get this, brothers, I'm helping somebody here. When your love for that person is right, you will wash the dishes. You will wash clothes and dry them and fold them. You will clean the house without her asking you to do it. You will sometimes look at her and say, baby, come on, let me take you out to dinner. Help me, Holy Ghost. You will come home sometimes and say, baby, pack something. What do you mean pack something? I'm taking you somewhere just for the weekend. Hello. Y'all done got real quiet. Somebody's thinking. Plan a weekend away. Don't tell her about it. Just pack it up. Brothers, I want you to learn how to laugh with your mate. Now, this is a big one. Because men, many times, when we get around our fellas, we want to kick it with them. And so we laugh and talk with our boys. But then when we get home around our women, our lady, we want to act all macho and tough and crazy. Learn to laugh with her. Put on something and sit there and just laugh till y'all can't laugh no more together. Amen. Keep your rap about yourself, brothers. What do you mean, Ashley? I'm saying that when you met her, you knew what to say. Girls, you sure look good today. You look good. I want you to know something. Let me give you some secret here. When you are in love and you've got the woman that you are with, learn how to still say those complimentary things about her. When she takes all day getting dressed and you're sitting there going crazy, when she finally walks down the steps and says, "Ooh, girl, you look like new money." And then when you get in the car, do like I do. "You didn't make me late again. I'm tired of being late." That's what I do. That's what I do. I ain't telling you no lie. That's what I do. My wife walked down the steps and said, "Girl, you look good." Ooh, she's all, "Oh, boy." I said, "Girl." And then when I get in, I'm like, "Mad, or you made me late again." Learn to keep your rap about you. When she takes that time and she's running late and she's up there fixing up her hair, tell her, "Girl, you sure look good, honey." Sometime in church, put your arms around her and just look at her and say, "Dang, girl, I'm blessed." Amen. I'm helping somebody right now. Brothers, I want you to know, love will help you to die to this male macho stuff. It's okay to be all man, but there are times when we need to let it die. It's all right to let them see you cry. It's all right to kick it with her. I want my wife to be my best friend. Amen. I want her to be my best friend. I've got your back. You got my back. I don't want nobody else, no man, nobody, I don't care who it is, to be my best friend. My wife needs to be my best friend. Help me, Holy Ghost. Did I help somebody? It can't always be what somebody's given to me. Think about it. It's a sad thing to hear people say, "I just want a man to take care of me." Love has nothing to do with it. I've heard women say, "I want a man that has a good job, girl. He has to be making 5 figures. He has to be making 6 figures. Well, in this world today, be happy he's at Burger King. Amen. Come on, somebody. With the world the way it is today, be happy he has a job. We've got this thing so twisted. What can it profit me? What can I get out of it? I'm so happy that Jesus is not like that. He's an unselfish giver. He's an unselfish lover. I'm here to say to you, church, that we need to change our attitudes. We have a bad attitude. Our love is not really showing. Jesus says, "By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you show love one to another." And we'll ride down the street. We won't demonstrate no love. How do you know it, Ashley? Because when we see a gangbanger, when we see the prostitute, what are our feelings when we see these people? When we come and we talk about prison ministry, what are your feelings about it? God does not want us to turn our back and continue to look at people in a negative light. They have been enslaved to sin, but they are our brothers and sisters. What would you say if your child, how would you want people to look at your child if they were in this situation? How would you want people to look at your daughter if she has gotten caught up? How would you want people to look at your son if he's in jail? How would you want them to look at it? Don't tell me that you love Jesus. Don't tell me that you can sing about him and all these things that we do in church and we preach about it. We talk about how much we love the Lord, but our actions say something else. How is it that we can love Jesus whom we have never seen and not love those sitting next to us in church? We have husbands and wives that don't even love each other. Just keep looking forward. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Just look straight ahead. And I know that it's hard sometimes to love those that are sitting next to us. I know that it can be difficult. But by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I've worked with people that were hard to love. I've dealt with people in prison, Sister Brown, that was hard to love. But Jesus says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. This is why many of you, when we have prison ministry day and Sister Brown stands up here and she talks about prison ministry or anybody else, it's hard for you to have compassion. You heard Kelly talk about her experience. Some of you sitting here just went over your head. You know why? Because you don't have real love. People need to be loved. Love is the key. Mothers, fathers, listen to me. Love is the key. You have children in this church. You have children that are not in this church. There are young people in this church that are hurting, and they need to tell somebody what they're going through. But you know what? They won't tell you. Why is it that your children won't tell you what's happening with them? Why are they being ate up with the things going on in their life, and they don't feel compelled enough to sit down and talk with you? You know why? Because they have watched you. They have listened to you. And they haven't seen compassion. They have not heard of compassion for those outside going through the same thing. And I say to you, what are we doing? No love, no compassion for the people on the outside. I know they won't have any for me. I've heard mama, I've heard daddy drive down the street. I've seen how they look at people who are not dressed right. I've heard what they've said about people that are going through things. I know they won't have any compassion for me. We come to church and won't even speak to them. How many of us, when we walk into church, when we see a young person, do we go up to them and extend our hand and say, good morning, how you doing? What's love got to do with it? We can win more people to Jesus through love than any doctrine we had. I say it again. We can win more people through love than any doctrine we have. People need to be loved. While you're working on your job, love them. In your home, love them. When you're doing things for Jesus, love them, because love is the agency that will change the stony heart. Love can tear down the barrier. There was a man in prison in Philadelphia named Harry Williams. He's dead now. Harry was an Adventist pastor for like 20-something years. Harry was in this prison in Philadelphia. He was one of the toughest men to leave the streets of Philly. His M.O., His whole method of operation was robbing drug dealers. I mean, Harry wouldn't go and rob stores. He would go and rob drug dealers. And they told him one time, they said, Harry, we're putting some dope on this side of town. And we know your M.O. Don't go over there, Harry, and mess with our people selling that dope. Well, Harry was crazy. He went over there and robbed those people. They caught Harry, and they cut him from ear to ear. The doctor told him that you will never talk above a whisper. But there's a text in the book of Job that says God is greater than man. As he sat in prison there with 33 years, members from the Ebenezer Adventist Church was starting to come into that prison. And I remember Harry saying that there was some men there that said, Harry, are you going to go to church with us tonight? Harry said, man, I don't go to church. Leave me alone with that stuff. Everybody in my family are church-going people. They deacons, preachers. They ain't no good. But Harry, there's going to be some women at the church tonight. There's going to be some women. I'm going. When he walked into the room, Harry said when he saw the women that was there, it was five little old ladies between the age of 70 and 80-something years old. Harry said, man, they done set me up. And then, as he sat there in the service, these little old ladies, when they stood up, Sister Humphrey, she's still alive today. He said he remembered when they stood up and grabbed the podium, they were so scared. They just said, look, I want you men to know that you're some good boys. You're not no bad boys. And God loves you, and we love you too. Harry said, "Nah, he know the lady didn't know they were all murderers, rape thieves, and all this." But he said he went back to his cell, and he cried like a baby. He said because in all of his life, he had never been told that he was loved. He had never heard that he was loved. Do you know how many people in the world today have never heard those words? That's why, Sister Brown, every time I go into the prison now, the first thing I say to them is that, listen, I want you to know I love you and God loves you. He said he sat there in the cell and he cried like a baby. And then he started going to their services every time they came in. And Sister Humphrey, when she would take his hand and shake his hand, she would say, young man, I don't know what's on you, but God has called you to be a preacher. He said, this lady is going crazy. And she would say that to him every time. He said, after a while, he started believing it. Well, maybe God is calling me to be a minister. When he got out of prison, he heard them talk about Oakwood College. He said, I think I'm going to go to this school called Oakwood. So he gets down there and he goes to the school and he walks up and he says, they was checking in kids for, you know, enrollment. And he says, hi, my name is Harry Williams. And the girl began to look and she said, well, we don't have any hair. My name is Harry Williams. She said, well, sir, we don't have anything. Where are you from? She said, I'm from the penitentiary. She said, the penitentiary? Dr. So-and-so, we have somebody you need to see. Harry walked into this man's room and said, listen, my name is Harry Williams, and I'm here to be a preacher. I'm here to be a preacher. God sent me. The man said, well, I wish God had told us you was coming. To make a long story short, they had a board meeting on Harry because Harry didn't have a dime. Harry said, I'm here to be a preacher. I've just got out of prison. They voted. First time in history, they voted to put Harry into Oakwood College without a dime, paid for 4 years of college. He graduated with his degrees and was an Adventist pastor for 20-some years. Amen. He just died last year from a massive stroke. And I tell you, we love Harry. I have his testimony on CD. If you want to get that, just see me this afternoon. I've brought some powerful CDs with me and DVDs of Chaplain Barry Black and Harry Williams and others. I remember, Sister Brown, when I went over to San Quentin. I got out of prison in 1983. And some of you didn't know I had been to prison. And I should tell you. I really should, because many of you will never sleep unless I tell you. I know that. And I'll tell you, because I know you want to know. But it's going to be at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Amen. So you have to come back. But when I started going into prison in 1985, I started at San Quentin Prison, and I was doing cell ministry. That's where we would go in, and we would go past the chapel, and we would go up to the blocks, and we would walk down the tiers, 55 men, 55 cells, a man in each cell. They were so hard back in 85, many of them weren't coming to the chapel, so you had to take the gospel to them. I'm talking about what's love got to do with it. It was love that turned Harry around. Listen to this story. I go into San Quentin that night with my card. I go over to the chapel, get my instructions from Chaplain Harry Howe. He said, you can go over to East Block tonight. So I go over to East Block, and whenever you go to East Block, you take with you materials. I took a little bag with some Bibles and books and everything, and this briefcase, and I had it filled. Because, you know, when the men, when you get to their cells, if they want something, you have to have it right there. You can't keep running back to the chapel. So I'm walking down this tier. You got to hear this. 55 cells on each tier. 5 stories high. Now, you do the math. 5 tiers, 55 cells on each tier. So I'm walking down this tier. You had to put on this, like, bulletproof vest. It wasn't a bullet. It's a plastic vest. It's a vest that keeps any type of object from stabbing you because you're doing cell ministry. It was so bad at Quentin back in the 80s that a man had gotten stabbed through the bar. So now they put a grade of steel in front of the bars. So picture it in your mind. You have the bars. You all have seen pictures of bars. But in front of those bars is a grade of steel about 1.5 inches thick. There are diamond, like the cards, when you play cards, the diamond Carter did, okay. There are diamond-shaped holes in that steel to allow light and air in the cell. So when you walk up to the cell, you have to look through these diamond-shaped holes, Jackie. Look beyond the bars, and there is the person. So I'm walking from cell number one. Hi, I'm from the chapel. Can I talk with you? Cell number two. Cell number three. Cell number four. When I got to cell number five, there was a man sitting on his bunk. He stood up and walked over to his bars. I said, listen, hi, my name is Ashley, and I'm from the chapel. I'm a volunteer, and I just want to share with you the love of Jesus. The man looked at me and said, I don't know who sent you. He said, I don't want to hear nothing about that. I'm going to kill myself tonight. He said, I can't take all of this. He said, I have too much time. I can't deal with this, man. I've got to kill myself tonight. I don't know who sent you, but I want you to know I'm going to do it tonight. I said, my God. I said, sir, please, can I just talk to you for a few moments? He said, go ahead, man, but it's not going to do any good. And I began to share with him the love of God. I said, look, Jesus was hung high and spread wide. He was beaten badly for you and I, man. There's nothing can separate. He loves you, and I'm talking with him. And I said, look, can I give you a Bible? Can I give you this book? He said, I don't care, man. So now I'm at a dilemma. How do I get the Bible to him? The officers are not going to come up and unlock the cell. I can't slide it underneath the cell because there's not enough room. So I open up one of the Bibles I had. I open it up to the book of Psalms. That's the middle of the Bible. Amen. I put it up against the wall. There was enough space for the Bible to make its way around that last bar. I said, man, pull it. Pull it. Pull it in. Once he got it inside, I said, now I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. And I showed him where the book of Psalms was at. How many of you know that there's some healing power in the book of Psalms? Ah, there's some healing power when you read Psalms. The man stood there and he started reading with me, and I shared with him the love. We talking about what's love got to do with it? You better hear me. The man stood there, and all of a sudden, the officer came over the loudspeaker, and he said, all volunteers off of the tiers. I said, oh, man, I've got to go. And I said, man, let me have prayer with you. I said, put your hand up. Place it on this grate of steel. When he did that, the fatty parts of his fingertips were sticking through the holes. I laid my hand flesh up against there, and I began to pray with him. And I called on Jesus, and I called on the Lord, and the man said, all volunteers off of the tier right now. I said, man, I'm going to go now. I said, but I'm praying for you. I walked off the tier, and as I was going back across the yard, I heard the devil say to me, you know, the devil will speak to you. Oh, yeah, you don't sit there like the devil ain't spoke to you. He's told you to do things you ain't had no business doing. The devil told me, he said, I am going to kill him tonight. I got home, I got on my knees, I cried unto the Lord. I couldn't even hardly sleep that night. I said, Lord, please, keep him, Jesus. Don't let him die. I got up the next morning, I got dressed, I went back over there. I didn't even stop at the chaplain's office. I went straight over to East Block. I went up to the fifth tier, but as I was arriving at East Block, I saw an ambulance in the back of East Block leaving. I said, my God. And I got up on the fifth tier, and I said, Lord, I hope that wasn't him in the ambulance. And I started walking down that tier, and when I got to the fifth cell, I looked in there, and what I saw, church, blew me away. He was sitting on his bunk. He had the Word of God open. He said, man, I don't know what it is about this book you gave me last night, but I can't put it down. He said, I've been reading this all night long. I said, glory to God. I said, man, you're going, I'm going to be all right, man. I didn't know I was loved like this. If you are my disciples, you will show love one to another. It was love that turned these men around. I want you to look at something as I close. John, 1 John chapter 4. You have to have love for people. I don't care if they're drug addicts. I don't care if they're prostitutes, homosexuals, if they're prisoners. You have to have love for people, even these people in this church. You have to love them if they get on your nerves. You have to love them. Hello. If you have 1 John, go to chapter 4. Do you have it? Say amen. Look at verse 7. Beloved. Now listen, let me just be real with you. I don't know how many of you really want to go to heaven, but I really want to go. I mean, I've made messes in my life, but as I get older and older, maybe you call it the old folk syndrome. You know, as people get older, they say they're just trying to get to heaven. I don't know what you want to call it, but I want to go. If you want to go to heaven, get this right here. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And look, and they even know God. He that loveth not, look, they don't even know God. For God is love. Check this out. How you gonna tell me that you on your way to heaven and you don't have love for people? The Bible says that if you don't love, you don't even know God. Let's go on to verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be a petition for our sins. Beloved, if so God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. I've never seen him. I've seen him in nature. I've seen him in newborn babies. I've seen him operating in my life and your life. No man has ever seen God at any time. If we love one another, if we love one another, the Bible says that God dwells in you and his love is made perfect. Turn over to verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love will cast out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Well, Brother Ashley, I would go into the prison, but I'm just scared. That's not of God, because true love will cast out the fear. Your love for them says, Lord, I've got to go because you came for me. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Let me end with these last two verses. Listen to this. Speak, Holy Ghost. If a man says, I love the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, I sing about it. I preach about it. But hate his brother, he is a liar. He is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that we love God and love his brothers also. How can you tell us that you love God? You've never seen him. The Bible said that if you're saying that and you don't have love for people, that you're a liar. I didn't call you one, God did. God called you a liar. There's too many hurting people in this world. When you drive down the street and you see people looking different than you, do you cry out and say, Lord, please have mercy on them, Jesus? That's somebody's child. That's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's son. These people that we're crying out to over at this prison, when I say we need you to come help, There are men in there that love the Lord, but they need somebody to come and say, it's all right. You made a mistake. God loves you. We all have made mistakes. Just that many of us didn't get caught. Somebody today, I'm asking you to change your attitude. I'm asking you to get rid of that old disposition. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Touch of love. Touching people with love. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily I surrender. I surrender. You got to give it up, church. Come on, you got to give up those feelings. Surrender it. I surrender. I surrender all. Let's do that chorus again. I surrender. I surrender. Give up all those old feelings, all those old thoughts. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Listen, I have two appeals quickly. Somebody here today, hear me. I want you to block out everything in this room. I want you to hear the voice of God. Jesus says, my sheep, when they hear my voice, they will follow. Man, woman, boy or girl, if you're here and you're under the sound of my voice and you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, you know that His eyes has been on the sparrow, but His eyes are greater on you because He loves you so much more. You were made in the image of God. God loves you. If you're here and you would like to surrender your life to Jesus today, I want you to come. I don't want you to think about no one. I don't want you to think about what the enemy is saying. I want you to get...
Father, thank you that there is still wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. God, thank you that healing and transformation has taken place in this house. Thank you that lives have been liberated, souls have been set free. And we thank you, God, that with arms wide open, you have received them into your everlasting kingdom. Lord, thank you for using your man today to challenge us, to speak to us. We pray, oh God, that this ministry would bloom and blossom and that hearts would truly come to call you God and Savior in prison. And then, Lord, for those who have come accepting you with all their hearts and all their souls, bless and enrich their lives. For those who have stood saying, we want that change in our attitudes, bless us too, Lord. And we give you praise that at the workshop this afternoon, we are going to come and support to be letter writers, to be prayer warriors. When the opportunity comes to give to this ministry financially, that we'll say yes. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. my